Okay, Rabbi Sai. Today's daf is daf lamid. We're starting on Chof Tes Amid Beis. Five lines from the bottom of the Amid. From the two dots, exactly right. And we're continuing to talk about the inyanim that we've spoken about for the last day or two. And that is, a person wants to put away or make an eruve techumen. Why does he want to make an eruve techumen? Because he wants to be able to go and walk on Shabbos another 2,000 amos in any given direction. See, normally the halacha is, if you don't make an eruve techumen, wherever you live, which means not only your home, but your entire city, you can go and walk from one end of the city to the other on Shabbos without any hesitation. However, where the city limits start or end, from there you only get another 2,000 amos in each direction, north, east, west, south. But what happens if at one particular Shabbos, you don't want to have the ability to walk only 2,000 amos to the north and 2,000 amos to the east? You want to be able to walk 4,000 amos to the north. Why? Because you live not far from Kishken Halash, and you heard that the chief rabbi of Ketchkemate is coming that Shabbos to Kishken Halash, and he's going to give the annual Shabbos HaGudel Drusha in the middle of Tishrei. That being the case, you want to hear, because you've never heard of Shabbos HaGudel Drusha in Drusha. You usually hear it before Pesach. So you want to hear it. It's going to be a great Drusha. And it's exactly 4,000 amos from where you live to get to Kishken Halash. So that's why you put an Erev at the 2,000 Amma mark, and then you're able to go and carry, you're able to walk another 2,000 Amma. How much do you have to put away for your Erev? You have to put away the equivalent of two Seudois Shabbos. But as we started learning yesterday, and as we're going to continue learning today, it doesn't mean a full 12-course meal for two Seudois, but the amount that you would either normally eat in two Seudois, including the amount that you would eat as a relish in the two Seudais. So what we said yesterday is, for instance, if a person likes to eat salad, and when he eats salad, he always adds salad dressing, for instance, in the form of vinegar. He said the Gemara yesterday, you don't have to have the salad and the hamoitzi and the wine and the vinegar. It's enough to go and have put away the amount of vinegar that you would eat in two Seudois. That's already enough. How much vinegar do you put to your add to your salad? Yichweis, tablespoon, 3 tablespoons, 3 ounces. Double that. That's the amount that you put away for your eruv. So you don't even have to have an eruv of a huge size. Just the amount that you would eat together with whatever your basic meal is. That's a tremendous kula. But remember, except for Rabbi Akiva, everybody holds the din of eruv chumen is rabban. Shazoki mo amav yiram shmur. Koshu lifton, anything which itself is a relish. Now the word relish over here doesn't mean like the form of you take a piece of bread and you add butter, or you add peanut butter, or you add jelly. Lifton over here means something that is what they would call in Yiddish a tzimis. Tzimis means tzim esses, something that you add to the main course that you're normally eating. So if your main course, if your the main staple of your meal, for instance, is challah, then the lifton would be anything that you eat together with the challah. A piece of fish, a piece of meat, some dips, whatever they happen to be. So Amar Yina Mishmo, kosher hu lifton, kdei lechol boy. Kosher ain't a lifton, kdei lechol himen. Anything which is a lifton, which means it's not the main part of the meal. It's what you're eating to go and add tam and relish to the main part of the meal. Kdei lechol boy. Then the amount is how much you would eat in it, when it means kdei lechol boy, that you would take the challah and eat it together with that. Remember, today there are people that throughout the week don't wash for whatever reason, and they only wash for Shabbos, Yom Tov, for Shchodesh, whatever I'm saying. In the good old days, everybody washed for every single meal because that was the staple. The bread was the staple of every meal, challah and Shabbos, and therefore anything that you ate at the meal together with the bread, that became, in a sense, the lifton together with the bread. So therefore, if you know Mishmul says, kosher lifton, anything which is not the essential part of the meal, but rather it is something that you eat together with the bread, is kdei lechol boy. You measure how much you would normally eat together with the bread during those two meals, and that's what you put away. kosher ain't a liftan, anything which is not liftan, not something you eat together with the bread. But this is the meal itself, the kedei lechol haymenu. Then how much you eat from that item itself. So let's take a quick look at the Rashi, which will crystallize what we're saying about 10 lines before the end. Kedei lechol bayit. Kosher liftan, again, lifta means like a relish, a tsum essen, something that you eat together with the bread. Shi'uroi, the shir is kdei lechol boi, lafis boi esapas, mozoin beis udais. The amount that you would use as such a relish with your pas. So today, that so many people eat these dips at the outside of their meal, right after the fish or whatever, they use hummus and tchina and baba ganoush and guacamole and this, all types of different names. So you don't need to have for your two meals the challah and the fish and the meat. It would be enough just to put aside the amount of hummus or tchina that you would eat in those two meals. So if you happen to have a voracious appetite for tchina, and you usually eat up a half of one of those containers, you put away one container for the entire Shabbos, and that would cover you for two meals, for your Friday night meal and your Shabbos meal, because you eat a half a container. If you normally only eat a quarter of a container with your challah, and then only put away a half a container. That's kedei lechol bayit. Kedei lechol menu, shei kol shtei sudos mimenu. If that's the key part of your meal, that's what you eat, then you have to have two sudos of it. So the Gemara gives now examples of what we're talking about. Zok Gemara, four lines from the bottom, basar chai. If you're talking about raw meat, the Gemara assumes that a person is going to eat the raw meat as that's what he's going to eat. Rashi says, in a lifton, that is not the thing that you normally eat with something else. If you're eating raw meat, you're eating raw meat. So the amount is, the amount that you would eat of that raw meat. 6 ounces Friday night, 8 ounces on Shabbos day, 14 ounces of raw meat. However, boss, it's leave, you're talking about roasted meat, that's already a machlokes. Rava Omar Kedei Lechol Boy, the amount of roasted meat that you would normally eat with your bread, with your challah, because the Gemara is assuming, according to Rava, that the average individual doesn't just eat meat, he eats the meat together with something else, so it's just a tofel, a relish with something else. As if you would just eat a meat only of meat itself. How could that be? Who eats only meat itself without eating a piece of bread or without eating a piece of challah? Rav Yosef bin Aminullah. How do I know? Dani Persai, the Persians. Achli tivhaki. What size tivhaki? Rashi says chatichos. Slices of meat. Beloy nahama. This is ear raising. Can you imagine people eat a meal only meat without any bread? The answer is yes. What's your question?
Basar chai, though? I mean, who eats basar chai?
Well, now we're up to the basar sli, where he found
it. I mean, we're going on about basar
chai.
I know, but that's the Kohanim, they would eat it. I mean, it was one day a year. I mean, it's typically people
they have it here at the Marais.
Some people eat something called, do you ever have something called sushi?
Yeah, but sushi's raw fish.
I'm well aware it's raw fish, but just like you have people eat raw fish, okay, I guess so, people eat raw meat. I don't eat sushi either.
Batla daito is a
kolad. Unbelievable. Yeah.
But
Batla daito is a kolad. Oh, they are good. Oh, so you have a ruba d'alma. Persians are the roiv of the world. You bring me a raya from Persians, the gabi halacha of these chatichs of meat. 99% of the world doesn't just eat steak, they eat it together with a piece of mint, with a piece of bread. And therefore, you're telling me that we're going to go and follow based on what the Persians do, which that would come out to be a chumrah. Because if the bread is a staple, thank you, and you're adding meat to it, then the meat would only be 6 ounces. However, if you're not having any bread, you're just eating the meat, then you would have a 12-ounce steak or whatever you're eating. So that's a chumrah that you have to have more meat as a result. So Abaye is saying, we're going to follow the roiv, because of the Persians. Persians only a small percentage of all the people in the world. So what are you going to tell me? Yeah, maybe we're going to follow them. But now we learned in the Mishnah, or Batanya says in the Mishnah. Big de aniyim la niyim, big de ashirim la shirim. Av big de ashirim la niyim loy. So we've had this halacha already before. What means big de aniyim la niyim? When it comes to Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara, then there's a minimum shear of a beged that's makabel tumah. For aniyim, the minimum shear is 3 etzbois on 3 etzbois, which is very, very small. Take 3 fingers of one hand, 3 fingers of the other hand, and you see the whole thing is about 3 inches by 3 inches. However, Ashirim, a piece of cloth of 3x3, they're just going to toss in the wastebasket. What can you do with 3x3? And therefore, the shear for Ashirim is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. Oh, 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, that's like the size of a dish towel or a washing your hands towel after drying hands towel by the tefillah shadayim. Many people have these fancy towels. That's roughly, let's say, a foot by a foot. So that's, of course, much larger. So what happens if an oni has a piece of cloth, which happens to be 2 tefachim by 2 tefachim, and it got tamei? As far as this oni is concerned, this still happens to be a good piece of cloth because it's larger than 3x3 at spice. As far as the Ashirim are concerned, this is a rag. What can you do with it? It's not even 3x3 tefachim. He's just going to toss it in the waste. Says the top of the Amud, "Abig the Ashirim la'aniyim loy." That when it comes to aniyim, we don't say that they too follow the shiur of the Ashirim of 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, but rather we say that they follow the shiur of 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois. So what do I see from this? We see from this, says the top Rashi on the second line, "Hokanami." Even though as far as the parsoim are concerned, it's not considered to be a liftan, it's not considered to be something that they eat together with the meat, because they eat it alone, not something they eat with the challah, because they eat the meat alone. Since we have a liftan, we that are normal people, not the Persian people, that we wash for the meal, and we have bread, and then we go and have the piece of meat together with it, niski b'shir zuta. Why do we have to have the larger shear of the Persians? A 12-ounce steak, I'll take a 6-ounce steak, because that's enough, since I eat it together with a piece of bread. Maybe you're going to tell me in all cases they have to be machmir. What means in all cases? Both in the case of the Persian meat, they have to be machmir, put aside a 12-ounce steak, not a 6-ounce steak. They have to be machmir. And the case of the aniyim v'ashirim, they also have to be machmir. How may machmir by the aniyim? That by the aniyim, even though it has this small little share, it's only 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois. Where, for the masses of regular, normal people that have, Baruch Hashem, some amount of funds, 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois is gunish, throw it out, it's a rag, it's nothing. However, since for the aniyim it is a dover choshuv, then it continues to have tumah. So it will be machmer for the aniyim. So it's going to be machmer in all directions. I'll show you that when it comes to Ruvei Tchumen, we're going to make kulois. What kula are we talking about? Kula number one. What happens if you have a chola ulezokein, who unfortunately cannot eat that much because they're not well, they're not healthy, or a zokein who's already 102 years old, he doesn't need a big 12-ounce steak. He'll be lucky if he eats a 3-ounce steak. Hey, kenish. So, what's the amount? Kidei mizono, according to what his needs and his food menu is. If his food menu is very limited and restricted, that's the amount that you put away for your Eruv Tchumen. And Rav, so when I'm if you have a glutton who loves to eat, he doesn't have to put away the amount that he eats. He normally eats at every single meal. He usually eats at least 3 bukalach, 3 nice, big, heavy-duty rolls. No, he does the same as the average individual. Assuming the average individual has 1 bukalach per meal, that's what he puts away for one meal. So you see that when it comes to Ruv Tchumen, we are maker. We're not looking for chumris, we're looking for kulis. So if that's the case, Rav Yosef, where are you coming from that we should go after the Persians? This is more kasha. Taka. This is a very good kasha on Rav Yosef, and the Gemara has no answer to this kasha.
The Gemara is using an example of two individuals who don't seem likely to take a very long walk on Shabbos. A very old man and a very heavy man.
Okay. Rapson doesn't say that he's heavy. Rapson means he has
a glutton.
He's a glutton. Maybe he does a lot of walking and therefore he can keep on eating. Frank Dimara. You're telling me the name of Rav Shimon Elazar that we have all types of kulois. But Tanya, the same Rav Shimon Elazar has a tremendous chumrah, again when we come to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahar. What is this all about? Tanya Rav Shimon Elazar, Oymer Oig Melech HaBashan Hischoy B'Miluay Kim Miluay. What's Oig Melech HaBashan? Oig Melech HaBashan, everybody knows, was a giant of a person. And what happens, Oig Melech HaBoshen, if he were to die within a building, now the building of course has Hilchois Tumah, Tumas Oil. It's a machlokes where the Tumas Oil applies to Gentiles or only applies to Yidden. But even if it applies only to Gentiles, when the Gemara is saying Oig Melech HaBoshen Lav Dafka, he's just, we don't want to go and kill a Jew, we want to rather kill Oig Melech HaBoshen, right? So if you have to have somebody die, why should he die? If so, anyway, the point is that if a giant of a person died and he happens to be inside the house, everything inside the house becomes Tumi Tumasai. Now, in addition to that, there's something known as the exits and entrances, the Psochem Vachaloinois. You're going to tell me that the exit and entrances and the Chaloinois are also part of the house. Well, part of it is part of the house, but the other part, in other words, if you look at the whole thickness of the window, you can have a windowsill outside the house too, or for that matter, your doorway. Part of that doorway is underneath the roof, but part of it is sticking out to the outside. So, says the Gemara, now, so normally the halacha is that if, chas v'sholem, a person passes away inside a house, we say, we look at the doorway, which is most likely to be the exit route of this individual. And for instance, if that exit route happens to be four tfachim wide or wider, we say that that's the one that has a tumas pesach, that anything within the ear frame of that pesach or of that chaloyim will all become tame. However, if you have other nooks and crannies and windows and exits and entrances which are smaller than that, smaller than four tefachim, so that the mess is not going to be taken out of those, then those remain tahar. So anything in the outside of those psachim or those chaloinis will be tahar. So now the Gemara says, but if you have a person like Oig Melech HaBoshen, what we're going to say is you have to have a pesach kimiluai, like the frame of Oig Melech HaBoshen, which means it's got to be a huge doorway. And if you have such a huge doorway, then all the other entrances and exits and windows are going to be tahor. But if you don't have a pischoy kemiluay, then all of the chaloynes, all the psachim, will all be tameh. Rashi says, even if you have a chor moly egroif, if you had a hole in the wall over here, which was all of a fist, size of a fist, if chas v'sholem Oig Melech HaBoshen had died, therefore, and there is no pischa kimeluay, there is no door that has been constructed that is as big as his frame, anything and everything is going to be tame.
Then how did he get in the first place?
Good question. Maybe he was quarantining and he was aroused and he ate a lot and he cried and they bent around him, yeah. Anyway, yes, what's up there?
We're just talking about the house itself is coming. We're only talking about the Dalet Amos or the Pesach.
Exactly. Everything inside the house is automatically Tameh. We're talking about the Pesachim and the Chaloinis themselves, any part that protrudes beyond the building itself, would also have a din of Tameh. So that's Pesach Kimeloi. Period. So now, how is that different than anybody else? Anybody else, if a chas v'sholem passes away, and there happens to be a doorway of four tefachim, then we say that there is enough room to move the mess out, which by the way is not easy, because normally a mess is larger than four tefachim, but if there happens to be a doorway of four tefachim, then we say that all the other tefachim automatically are tahir, not by Oig Melech HaBoshen. Oig Melech HaBoshen has to be pischa kimeloi. So I see from, and if you don't have a pischa kimeloi, then all the other psachim are tameh. So I see that Rabbi Shimon Elazar doesn't say, look at the average reasonable man and say, well, the regular person can fit through arba tvachim, even though arba tvachim, even though Oig Melech HaBoshen can't, but I'm not going to look at Oig Melech HaBoshen, I'm going to look at the general population. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar, when it comes to the glutton on Shabbos, we say Besuda Bein Nishakolada. We don't measure how much he eats, measure how much a regular person eats. How come by Oig Melech HaBoshen don't we measure the doorways also based on a regular, normal individual? Sabaya says, I don't understand the question. Babaya, Hasam Heichi Levin, what am I supposed to do with Oig Melech HaBoshen? Hadume Nehadme Benafke, are we supposed to chop him up into little pieces and take him out, Chas v'Sholem, of the small little you have to move him. There's no way that you can move Ayy Melech HaBashan through a doorway which is 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. That's impossible. So therefore, there has to be over here a special rule governing Ayy Melech HaBashan that doesn't apply to the general population. General population going to say, he eats more, he eats less. But here we're trying to go and remove the mess from the building to take away the tumma. The only way to do it is find a Pischa Kimeluay. So therefore, that's why this has to be a special situation, not your normal general population situation. So, Frank Dimari, Boiluhu, figure Rabbanan lead of Shimon Elazar Oiloi. We just mentioned Shimon Elazar. What did Rabbanan hold in such a case? Would they hold that we go after the normal rules, and therefore you don't have to have this huge Pischer Kimeluay? Even if you only have a small Pesach, what would we say? Could we say that all of the other smaller Pesachim are tahar? It's Tashimadi, Amar Rabbi Bachana, Rabbi Yochanan, Ayy Melech HaBashan, Pischoi bi Arbo'a. He said that according to the Rabbanan, the shear there too is 4 Tvachim. But if you have one opening which is 4 Tvachim, all the other openings which are smaller, forget about them, they're all tahar. So it certainly looks like the Rabbanan disagree with Reb Shimon Elazar. So Yomar, no, you don't have to say there's a machlokes. Hasim the ikah psachim tanim tuva, the ikah chad the havi arba'a. Here in that case, where the Rabbanan are saying pischei ba'arba'a, it's talking about that there's only one pesach with 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. Everything else is much smaller. 1 tefach, 2 tvachim, 3 tvachim. Psachim ketanim tuva, many but smaller. The ikah chad and one is havi arba'a. The vadi kikar marvach. Now, when they decide to remove the body of Ayy Melech HaBashan, guess how they're going to do it? Do you think they're going to go and pick on the small little window of 2 tvachim and they're going to expand that? Of course not. They're going to go and expand the 4 tvachim entrance or exit to be able to remove the body. Therefore, the vadi kikar marvach, bahu kamarvach, they're certainly going to remove it through the 4 tvachim exit. Aha. Okay, so isn't that still different than Reb Shimon Elazar that said Pischoi Kimiluai? Says Rashi, no. That's because there was one Pesach of Arba'a and all the others are smaller. So there's no question we're going to go and take out the mess through the Arba'a Tvachim. We'll have to go and cut down half of the house to be able to expand that Pesach to remove the body. But that's going to be the Pesach. The first case we said Pischoi Kimiluai, says Rashi, means that you have a whole bunch of psachim of the same size, let's say of 10 amois, or 4 tvachim, or 4 amois, or whatever it happens to be. Since there I don't know which one I'm going to take him out of, that's when it depends. If we find a pischoi kimiluai, then only that one's going to be tamei, the others will be tar. But if none of them pischoi kimiluai, and all of them are basically the same size, then all of them are going to be tamei. So it depends whether or not you have different sizes of openings to that wind, to that building or to that room. Okay, let's get back to more Frank the Chazach. Is Omar Rav Simon Bar Chiya Ma'arvim Bebeim Chayes. You can also go make an Erev with raw eggs. Everybody knows who eats raw eggs. The Chazonim eat raw eggs, right? Uri, you eat raw eggs. The Kama Omar Nachba Yitzchak Sinai Omar Shtayim. What's the minimum amount for your two Sudei Shabbos? 2 eggs. In other words, 1 egg for Friday night, 1 egg for Shabbos day. That's enough. And who's the Sinai that we're talking about? So the end of Masechta is Brachos, and the end of Masechta is Hodiyos. Barry, you remind us who's Sinai? Rav Yosef. Mara tells us over there that he had two great scholars, Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was the Sinai, and Rabbah was the Oker Horeb. Sinai means he had the great encyclopedic knowledge, and Rabbah's Oker Horeb, you would be able to go and have the great Koyach of Pilpo, asking kashas back and forth and coming up with new answers and novel interpretations, etc.
Okay. Is all this only relevant for extending
this also, right? At the very beginning of the Perek said that the whole Perek is right, and then we had the Bach that supports Rashi. But that's only going in the Mishnah. It's mashma that the whole Perek is all talking about Tchumen and not Chatzeres. Anyway, we continue on. So now we had we have a somewhat simpler Gemara, Rabbi Yisai. He said back in the Mishnah, a person makes a neder, I'm not going to eat mazai. I make a neder. Guess what? He's allowed to go and drink water and eat salt. The reason is, says Imar, Melech Umayim Hudle Ikri. It's mashma that Melech Umayim Hudle Ikri Mazai. Called Mili Ikri Mazai. By the fact that our Mishnah excludes Mayim and Melech, it sounds like that all other food items in the world are called Mazai. And therefore he says, I'm not eating Mazai. He's allowed to go and eat Mayim and Melech. But he's not allowed to go and eat chocolate. He's not allowed to eat peaches. He's not allowed to go and eat a piece of meat or a piece of fish, because he said mozai. So it sounds like kol mili, all other foods other than salt and water are called mozai. So you want them to have the rabbi shmu, the rabbi shmu, the amateur bai. And you will come by the meaning, mezoi nice, el al chameshes aminim belvod. Rabbi shmu said back in Mesechta's brachos, that why does one make a bracha of bai minei mezoinais, mozoin, mezoinais, only in the five chameshes minim? Five chameshes minim, the five different types of grain. Chita se'oira, kusmin, shiboy l'shuav, and shipoin. Right, you have the five different types of grain. You have the wheat and the barley and the spelt, oats, etc. Yeah. Anyway, rye. So those are the five. Meaning that's called mazai. Anything else is not called mazai. That's why we do not make a bar minei mazainis on fish. We don't make a bar minei mazainis on meat. We don't make a bar minei mazainis on soup. We only make it on the five commissions because those are the only things called mazai. So if that's the case, if a person makes a nedim and a mazai, he shouldn't be able to eat the five different types of grain. But he should be able to eat everything else, not just mayim u'melach. Zuk Yimara, you're asking Akasha, Rabbi Shmuel, from our Mishnah. Don't you remember when we learned Masechta's Brachos that there the Gemara already asked a very strong kasha on Rav Ushmur? So why are you asking your kasha here in Masechta's Erevin? So what the Gemara is saying is maybe we have two kashas on Rav Ushmur, the one that we asked back in Brachos and the one that we're asking over here. From our Mishnah, pretty clear that the word mazain applies to all foods, not just to the five minei dagon. I'm Rav Huna. Oh, so Rav Huna says, you're absolutely right. According to Rav and Shmuel, if you make a neder min hamazon, you're only osur in the five different types of minei dagon. However, here in Amisha song by Oimer, neder min kol hazon olai, meaning that he makes a neder kol hazon olai, anything that is zon, then that is what he asks. Then my melech udaloi zayni, how come mili zayni? So what's the difference between mozoin and zon? The art scroll says in fancy English that the word mozoin means sustenance. Sustenance, it means gives the person nourishment and sustenance that he can go and live and thrive and be able to have energy and to do, etc. So that's mozoin. Zon means something that satisfies the person's urge to eat, satisfies his hunger pains, but not necessarily does it give nourishment. There are people that I know that eat potato chips all day, so that's not mozoin, at least classically you wouldn't think so, but it's zon.
Is thirst?
We're not talking about thirst at the moment. First, we're
only
talking about
hunger.
Only hunger at the moment. We could talk about thirst as well. But the point is that there is a fundamental difference between the word mazain and zon. Mazain is
snack.
Ah, oh, exactly. So mazain is a five minei dagon, and zon is all other food items except for mayim and melech. So therefore, if you make a neder called mazain alai, then you would be able to eat everything except for the five minei dagon. But if you make a neder called a zon alai, then you cannot eat anything except for mayim and melech. So what you're telling me, mayim melech hu d'lo zayin, mayim melech do not satisfy a person's urge or cravings to eat, but everything else does go and satisfy your hunger pains. Is that true? From Rabbi Bechana, a very famous Gemara about the Peres Genoiser. Peres Genoiser had a reputation of being the most delicious Peres in the world. Rabbi Bechana told us, Ki Abazil Nabasri Rabbi Yochanan, when we were following Rabbi Yochanan, the Mecha Pesach Gnoiser, we went on a trip to go and eat for the Pesach Gnoiser. Pesach Gnoiser grew next to the Kinneret, and they had the reputation of being delicious. Iski Avabinan Be Meir, when there were 100 Talmidim traveling together with Rabbi Yochanan, Haminaktinan the Cholchad Vachad Asara Asara. And every one of us would carry back 10 of the Pesach Gnoiser. And 10 times 100 is?
1,000.
Ki Avinan Be Asara, what happened with only 10 Talmidim? The other 90 were quarantined at home, so only 10 went together with Rabbi Yochanan on the trip. Haminaktinan the Cholchad Vachad Meo Meir. Then everybody would take along 100. How much is 100 times 10?
1,000.
So in all cases, we brought back 1,000. It's either 10 schlepping 100 pages or 100 schlepping 10 pages. Now, don't think that these pages are probably little cherries or something, right? Little blueberries. No! 100 of them have a machzik lehu. They would fill up a tzana. Tzana is a big basket. Bas tlos esavi that could hold 3 saw. Very, very large quantity. We're talking about a huge quantity. Now, don't think that the Talmidim ate from the 1,000 pages. We gave it all to Rabbi Yochanan to eat. Rabbi Yochanan used to eat up all 1,000 pages. Maybe it's a good number, he'd only eat 999. But you get the sense, he ate a lot of pages.
He was heavy, by the way.
That's true. But not necessarily because of eating pages. Maybe he had other things. Maybe he had a different metabolism. Anyway, whatever it happens to be. The Omar, and after he finished eating the 1,000 pages, he said, Shavuos, he made a shavua, Floytoyim Lizyuna. He still didn't satisfy his hunger. 1,000 pages didn't satisfy his hunger. You just said now that any food item satisfies a hunger. Certainly if you eat 1,000 of them, it should satisfy hunger. It may not be nourishing, but it certainly would be satisfying hunger. And for the Gemara, Eima Mizoina. Einachanam, he didn't make a shvu d'leitoimli ziyuna, but shvuas d'leitoimli mizoina. All of this was delicious. It was gishmak. It was tremendous. But I don't get any sustenance. I don't really feel new power and energy as a result of eating it, because it was only a zon item and not a mozoin item. You want to get strength, mozoin, you got to eat one of the chameshes minim according to Rabbi Shmuel. Good. Nushtik. Amr Avun Amarav. Shvuah shloi oichel kikar zu. Ma'arvin leibo. Kikar zu alai. Ein ma'arvin leibo. Person made either a shvuah or he made a neder. He makes a shvuah shloi oichel kikar zu. See this kikar over here? I'm not going to eat it. Not eating it. Make a shvuah, I'm not going to eat it. And now Shabbos, he wants to make a zeruv tchumen. He figures, I'm not going to eat this kikar anyway, so I might as well put it out there in the forest, 2,000 amis away, and leave it there so I can be able to walk another 2,000 amis on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, you can use that kikar, which he's not going to eat, to be koine shvisa for his eruv tchumen. But if he says, kikar zu alai, this kikar, I aser on me, that's already lashon neder, ein ma'arvin leibo, you cannot go and use for an eid. Now I ask you, Rabbi, so what's the difference between shvush le'oichel and kikar zu alai? Okay, so after gavrin chatzah, what's the difference for halacha? Why should I say, here I can be ma'arv, and here I say, cannot be ma'arv? So Rashi says a very simple answer. Notice by the shvu, he said, shloi oichel kikar zu. So the Isser was only an Isser Achila, but he's allowed to have Hanoah. Mashenke, in the case of Kikazu Alai, there he's Asering even Hanoah. So you're asking, okay, what Hanoah do you get out of eating a piece of Kikar? The Hanoah of eating?
Smell.
You smell, it's delicious, yeah, 100%, it's crunchy, 100%.
That's the Erev.
That's another Hanoah. The Hanoah is that I can put it away for an Erev. And therefore, if he says, I'm not going to go and eat the kikar, fine, don't eat the kikar, but you can have hanoah, you can put it away for the Erev. But if he says, I'm not going to have even hanoah from the kikar, then I can't put it away for the Erev, because I put it away for the Erev, then I'm having hanoah from the kikar. What's that hanoah? They'll be able to walk another 2,000 amas. That's why, a marmalade bar. Oh, brilliant. Is Israhi the Israhanoah? Very, very good. Right, you want a meisvei? Hanoidim in a kikar. A person makes a neidim in kikar. Ma'arvin lo yibo. The Gemara assumes what means a neidim in a kikar. My love, the Omar, like we just announced, kikar zu alai. And Rav Huna says kikazu alai doesn't work. Aim arvin leiba. But the Braisa says anoidim in a kikar ma arvin leiba. My love the omer alai, and therefore it's a direct hit. Akasha on Rav Huna omer Rav. Every more like the omer zu. He made a neder with zu. In other words, he said kikar zu alai, but he didn't go in. Or maybe just said kikar zu aser b'achil. He didn't go and use the expression alai. He just said zu.
So
how is that better if he says zu? Aser Rashi says loy de'om harizu shvua shloy oichal kikar zu. So even though the Gemara uses the expression hanoider, doesn't mean literally hanoider. It means he made a vow in the form of a shvua, where he said I'm not going to eat this kikar. But since again he said I'm not going to eat the kikar, but I can have hanah from the kikar, so he can go and put it away for a ruvei tchum. So tomorrow can I'm the stav, and I'll bring a raya that this is not a doichi pshat. This is the real pshat, the real McCoy. Victoni, let's look at the safe of that brisa. The brisa start off hanoidim na kikar ma'arv and leba. Amos, I when bizman she'om eshvur shloy etemenah. When he made a shvur that I'm not going to be toyim, I'm not going to taste it, which means I'm not going to eat from it. That's when the Braisa says ma'ar v'loiba. So now let's be medayik on our own. Avo, but if he didn't say shvur shloy etemenah, but if he said omar olai, my, what would be the din? Hachanami de'ein ma'ar v'loiba. Ein hachanami, you could not be ma'ar v'hit because you're having hanah from the kikar. In other words, this is a good pshat way to funa omarav. But frankly, more. But if that's the case, he hachi. Let's continue on the Braisa to the safe of the Braisa. The Braisa continues on. Adatani kikazu hegdish. What happens if he said about a kikar, this kikar is hegdish? Ain ma'arv leibo, then you can't make an erev, because now that I've had no from hegdish, you'll be moyo behegdish. Zokti more, why the fishay ma'arv and make day choice? So why did the Braisa have to go all the way from mikotze el hakotze, from a shvua shela oichel kikar zu, and then on the other hand, made a kikar zu hegdish? Why don't we go and talk about the middle case? Lifting, we're listening to the dog. That what? The med one. When did I say you can make an erev if he makes a shvua on a kikar? That's the omar zu of omar alai. If he says kikar zu alai, makes a neder. A ma'arv leiba. So what the Gemara is asking is, it doesn't sound like that's the right shot in this brisa, because why does the brisa say in the sefer that if he makes it hegdish, you can't use it for an neder? Why do I have to make it hegdish? Even if I just make a simple neder, a ma'arv leiba. Amlech Rafuna says, Elamai, what are you going to tell me? Kol heicha di omar alai ma'arvin. That if he says kol heich the omer alai, in other words, you're trying to bring a riot by the fact that it says in the safe that only if you make it hegdish, ain't ma'ar. So you want to go and say, but if he says just alai, yomar is kasher reisha, then it's shver the reisha, where the reisha said, what is the iser? When do I say hanoidim en hakikot ma'ar v'leiba? Said the reisha, emasai bizman she'omesh v'shloy etamena. Why did the reisha have to give that example? The chayyim should have given the example of kol heicha di omer alai ma'arvin, because that would be a bigger chiddush. Not only when he made an iser achila, but even when he says iser anah. Nevertheless, ma'arvin. Says Yomar Chesurim Ha'echzer Ba'chitani. Therefore, I have to go and take the brisa, and I have to do a little bit of modest surgery, and we start again. Hanoidim enakikar ma'arvin leiba. If you make a neidim enakikar, you can make an erev. Va'afilu omar alai. Even if he says alai. Nasik oimer shibush liatamana. If I make a neder, a lie, it's as if he made a shibush liatamana. So with this, the Braisa now works, because the Braisa internally is saying, regardless if you made a shvur or if you made a neder, in all cases, you can go and use it for an erev. But Rav Huna is a shver, because Rav Huna says that if you use the expression alai, ay ma'arvin leiba. And here I find that this brisa says ma'arvin leiba. Everything Gemara Hudi Amik Rav Lezer. Rav Huna holds like Rav Lezer, the sanya from the following brisa. Rav Lezer oimer shvua shloy oichel kikar zu ma'arvin leiba kikar zu alai. Chai Ei Ma'arvan Leiba. In other words, word for word, what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav 10 lines ago. And if you go back to right before the white lines, Rav Huna Marav Shvush by Oichel Kikazu Ma'arvan Leiba. Kikazu alai, ein ma'avan leba. What did Rabbi Lezer say? Word for word. Shmush le'yokla kikazu. Ma'avan leba. Kikazu alai, ein ma'avan leba. So therefore, even though the prior brice that we brought is in fact different than Rav Huna Amar Rav, but Rav Huna says, I hold like Rabbi Lezer. Frankly, more of the Amar Rabbi Lezer. Hachi did Rabbi Lezer taka say that, but you have another brice. Zehaklal. Odom oyser atzmoy bi oichel ma'avan leba. Which, by the way, sounds like Rav Huna. Person asks on himself to eat an ochel, he can still make a neder. In other words, in the form of a neder, but Rav Lezer, oh, Rav Lezer, kikazu alai ma'arvan leba, kikazu hegdish ei ma'arvan leba. What did Rav Lezer say? Kikazu alai ma'arvan leba. Really? Even though he made a neder, you can make an neder. Didn't we say 3 lines ago, Tanya Rav Lezer Oimer, Kikar Zuolai, Ei Ma'arvan Leiba. And here the same Rav Lezer says, Kikar Zuolai, Ma'arvan Leiba. Have a steer Rav Lezer on Rav Lezer. Rav Lezer continues on, Kikar Zuolai, Hegdish, Ei Ma'arvan Leiba. But Bamlefish, Ei Ma'arvan Leiba, you can't use Hegdish for an Eir. So Timari is not have a good Kasha, Trait Zanoi, but leave Rav Lezer. Rav Lezer had 2 Talmidim. After the shiur was over, he asked the Talmidim, tell me, what did Rav Lezer say? One of them said that Rav Lezer said, Ma'arvan Leiba. The other Talmid said, Ei Ma'arvan Leiba.
Rav Huna still support from the Tana Kama, who's arguing with Rav Lezer.
True, in this second Brice,
right,
he would have
right, to... So that, either way, according to either one, Rav Huna is protected. He has a Tana to back him up.
In the previous...
Either Rav Lezer or Rav Huna.
Either or, 100%. Very good. The one question that the Gemara doesn't address is, according to those that disagree with Rav Huna Amar Rav and hold that if you make a neder kikar zu alai, Rav Lezer says something very, very understandable, very intelligent, very reasonable. If you aser any hanoah from this kikar, I'm not allowed any hanoah. So how can you go and make an erev with it? Didn't we just say you're not allowed any hanoah whatsoever?
This is love management.
Okay, so now you're 100% right, but you have to go one step further.
Somebody else.
Sorry? Oh, that's going to be next week. Very good. Rashi, all the way at the bottom, says, brings the Mishnah we're going to learn in Mi'atshem tomorrow, that one man the Yomah holds Ein Ma'arvin El Edvar Mitzvah. If you decide that you just want to take a nice stroll 4,000 amas in one direction because you've never been to Kishkin Halach, but you want to go there for the first time because you heard that they have a beautiful aquarium or a beautiful zoo, and that's the reason why you want to go there on Shabbos. If you're doing it for Oinik Shabbos, maybe it has Sashikul Bar Mitzvah. But if you're just doing it for, because you have nothing else to do and you're going crazy because you've been quarantined the whole week and you want to get out a little bit, so there's no mitzvah over there, except maybe not to go crazy. Anyway, the point is, if you're doing the Erev, you have to do a Dafka for a Bar Mitzvah. Ah, what we did about mitzvah? You want to hear the drusha from the root from Ketchkemet, who's visiting that Shabbos in Kishkin Halach. So that being the case, you know, for years I haven't been saying that. See, you remember because you're bunny hat, right? From your bunny hat. Anyway, so getting back to Agmurah, so the point is that since the only reason, according to this man, the Omar, to make an Erev is only for purposes of Bar Mitzvah, and we have a rule that mitzvahs lav lehem is netnu, so even though this kikar allows me to go and walk the additional 2,000 amis, that's not hanor, that's being mekayim a mitzvah, and mitzvahs lav lehem is netnu, so that's why it's permissible. Anyway, that's the bottom. Rashi. On to the next chicken marzik, you want to bite ma'arvin le nozir biyayin. If you have a nozir who's not allowed to drink wine, he nevertheless can put away wine for his erev, because even though it's not chazi loy, but it's chazi lachrini, he can go call over his friends, drink some wine. And the same thing we had in our Mishnah Lagabi in Yisrael b'truma. You have Yisrael that has truma, he can put the truma away for the erev, even though he can't eat it, but he can call his friend, come and eat. Says even though that's what it says very clearly in our Mishnah, Bishamai respectfully disagrees. How do I know? The Sani Bishamai Oyman, Ein Ma'arvin the Nazir B'Yayin, and Ein Ma'arvin the Yisrael B'Truma. You cannot. Misel Amrin. Ma'amrin is Miyayim. You can. And our mission, of course, is Beisil. Exactly. So our mission like Beisil, which is great. And now the Gemara brings a bit of a dialogue. Amrin Beisil Beishamah. Don't you agree with me? Shema'arvin legodol b'yoyim ha'kipurim. What happens if you have a godol? A godol doesn't here mean a godol adar. He means a person who's over bar mitzvah. And on Yom Kippur, he heard that the Kishkan Hola Sharuf gives adrusha, which really moir people for tshuva. And the person who's gone through that afterwards, he has to have 100 tissues because he's crying and weeping at the dav tshuva ton. Zidok El Zidok Tishrei Zoch Yom Kippur Dahili Yitong V'Gantz Yor Nabuch. So he wants to hear that Gevalei Yidrosha on Yom Kippur in Kishkan Halash. So he has to make an Erev. Now how do you make an Erev? You put away food. Let me ask you a question. Will that God will be able to eat from that food in Yom Kippur? And the obvious answer is
No.
Because it's Yom Kippur. So how does that help? So says Rashi, even though he cannot use it, but he can take along his son and say, my son, you're only 10 years old, you won't really understand the entire drasha of the Kishkan Hola Sharuf, but I promise you, that is a drasha not to be missed. So therefore, even though the gadol can't eat it, but the katan can eat it. So I see that there is an inyan that even though it's not chazi loy, it's chazi lachreni. So do the same thing with gabi truma and the gabi nazir. Even though the nazir can't drink the wine, he'll give it to somebody else. Yisrael can't eat the truma, but he gave it to somebody else. The gadol can't eat the chalas, he'll give it to his son or give it to a youngster who's less than bar mitzvah. Amr Lahem, so when Beishami heard that, they said, Avol. Avol, says Rashi, means emes. Vas Yizok Beisil is absolutely correct that the Godel can make the Eder for Yom Kippur, even though he can't eat it, but the cotton can eat it. So then Amr Lahem, so Beisil said, now, once you've conceded that I'm right, Kishem Shema'arvan the Godel B'Yom Kippurim, came Arvan the Nazim B'Yayin L'Yisrael B'Truma. Same thing. They can't use it, but other people can use it. Beishamai says, no, your rai is not a good rai. Hosam ikasuda haru uyim boy joy. When do you put away the Erev? You don't put the Erev away on Yom Kippur. You put the Erev away on Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Yom Kippur, of course, everybody can eat, including the Godot. So you look, you take a snapshot at the time when he's putting away the Erev. Since at the time he's putting away the Erev, he can eat from it. That's why it helps for Yom Kippur, even though he cannot eat for the rest of Yom Kippur, but his son or a cotton can eat. Mashenken, in the case of the Yisrael and the Truma, he couldn't eat the Truma yesterday and the day before that, because he's a Yisrael. And the same thing by a Nazir, we're assuming the Nazir is already a Nazir for a few days, so he couldn't be a Nazir, he couldn't drink it on Erev Yom Tovol tonight. So therefore, it's not even Roy in the Boycha. Fine, very nice discussion, Bisham Bisil. Now the Gemara expands further on Beishamai. The Gemara says, Keman, this discussion that we just had, that according to Beishamai you can put away food for purposes of the Erev, it's not like Chananya. The Sani Chananya Oimer Kol Atzman Shul Beishamai Lo Yoyim Oyim Be'erev Achi Yoytzi Mitosoy V'chol Klei Tashvish Av Lisham. According to Beishamai, you want to go and be Koinish Visa, it's got to be a literal Koinish Visa. Meaning, we have been dealing with an Erev which is really a symbolic Koinish Visa. What means Koinish Visa? Koinish Visa means that a person decides from before Shabbos or Yom Tov that I want to go and establish a temporary residence for Shabbos and Yom Tov, so that I should be able to go and walk 2,000 amas from my new residence. Now, how do you establish a residence? The Gemara assumes that you live where your food is. I can't live without food. I can't go more than 24 hours without food. I have to have food. So where your food is, that's where you live. Your wardrobe and your bed and everything else is at home in your regular apartment. I can live without that for 24 hours, but I cannot live without food. So that's how generally all the Tanoim hold. However, Chananya says, according to Beishamai, no. You want to be Koinish Visa? You better take along with you before Shabbos anything and everything that you're going to need for that Shabbos. So you don't have to go and get a moving truck to go and bring all of your things that you have at home. You might have to have 3 trucks for that. But we're talking about, especially if you're a hoarder, then maybe you need 10 trucks. But all the things you're going to need for that Shabbos, like it says in the Brayse, Sadi Chananya Oymer Kol Atru Shebeisham Alayim Moedim Be'erev Ad Sheyoytzi Mitosay. He has to bring out his bed. He can't sleep on the ground. V'chol Kli Tashmishav L'Sham, and anything else that he's going to need for that Shabbos, everything has to be brought out. Now, from our Gemara, it's not Mashu that way. It's Mashu that according to Beishamai, that you just have to make sure that the foods are ro'uy loy, that he can eat that particular food. So if he happens to be a Nazir, don't take out bottles of wine. If a Yisrael, don't take out truma. But anything else is fine. Let the Nazir, let him go and take out bottles of beer, or Coca-Cola, or orange juice. And the Yisrael will take out chulin. Says Chananya, could it be Shaman? That's not enough. He's got to bring his bed there. He's got to bring his Kli Tashmisha there. It's not what the discussion was until now. So the Gemara concludes, the attacker, right, this discussion, Libi the Beishamai, is not like Chananya's version of Beishamai. Instead, Kiman Azal Hodesanya, who is the Tan of the following Braisa, Ireg Bishchoyrim Lo Yeitze Belevonim, Belevonim Lo Yeitze Bishchoyrim. If the person made an Erev wearing black clothes, he should not go out subsequently wearing white clothes. What exactly does that mean? So, from Rashi's Mashma, the following. He went out Erev Shabbos, and he put away his, according to Beishamai, he put his bed there, and he put some of his Kli Tashmish and some food and all wonderful, wonderful things. And after he made his Erev, and he made a bracha, amidst his Erev, and he said his Hindi Mukhar Mzuman, his Hareini, whatever, the whole tefillah, and now he goes home. And then when he goes home, he decides, you know what, I don't want to wear black clothing all Shabbos. It's going to be very hot tomorrow. I want to wear some white clothing. So that white clothing he didn't take with him. He didn't bring it to his Makom Erev. He left it at home. So, says the Brayse, Eir B'Shchoinim, if he wore black clothing for purpose of the Erev, he hates to move on. And the next day when he wants to go to Kishkin Olash, he shouldn't wear white clothes. For that matter, if he made a Belevonim, he hates to B'Shchoinim. He should have prepared everything from before Shabbos, called Kli Tashmisha. Kiman, who said this? Like we just said. Frank Timura, 1 second. Let's think through this. What happens if Itaka made an Erev when he was wearing white clothing? And he goes home. And then he wants to change to black clothing. No, you can't change to black clothing. Forget about it. You can't change to black clothing. Why can't they change to black clothing? Because he didn't leave it there at your Erev place. You're telling me, but he could continue to wear white clothing? You have to go and set out there in the Makom Erev all of his normal Kli Tashmishim. And if his normal Kli Tashmishim include both the Shchoinim and the Levonim, so then he didn't put a full fled. It's as if he didn't take out his Mita. It's as if he only took out a chair and didn't take out his bed. It's not a good Erev. It's not a good Erev. He can't wear black clothing. He can't wear white clothing. He can stay home, but he can't go in that to Kushkin Halash with black or white because he didn't put all his Kli Tashmishim up. Says Yimori, you're 100% right. That's Takab Shad in the Brayse. Erev B'Levonim, if he wore white clothing when he made his Erev, and then afterwards he remembered, I got it, when I go to Kishkan Halish, if I'm going to wear white clothing into shul, they're going to laugh at me. They're going to say, what type of Meshigan on Shabbos is coming into shul with white clothing? Everybody wears black clothing. Well, what's this type of thing? Then 100%, if that's what he needs for that Shabbos, if he doesn't need, for instance, his shorts, and he doesn't need his swimming suit on Shabbos, then he can leave home. That's fine. However, if he's going to need white clothing and black clothing, he better put out both the white and the black. Because if he doesn't, after the bottom layates, and Rabbi said this is as clear as black and white. He has to have both the black clothing and the white clothing. He only has one of them, layates it. Who's the one that said that? That he interprets the chiyuv of konish misa very literally, not just symbolic food items. You got to put out your bed and your clay tashmish. Good. Going back to our Mishnah now. Back in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama is the one that. So let's take a quick look at the Mishnah so we go and quote it correctly. Going back to Chavav Amud Beis, Chavav 26b, Chavav Amud Beis, on the bottom of the Amud, it says three lines from the bottom, Ma'arvin the Nozir, the Yayin, Uli Yisrael Betruma. A Nozer is allowed to use Yayin. Again, even though the Nozer can't drink wine himself, he gives it to somebody else. Uli Yisrael Betruma, even though Yisrael can't eat Truma, he gives it to his friend, the Kohen. Simchas Oimer, I respectfully disagree. Bechulin. If it's a Yisrael, he wants to make an Erev, he cannot make an Erev with Truma, it's gotta be with Chulin. Now why does Simchas only argue on the second case? Why didn't he argue on the first case? He should go and say in the case of the Nazir, Ma'arv and the Nazir, be Coca-Cola, be Sheikhar, with orange juice, but not wine. Just like he says that Yisrael cannot use Truma, he has to use Chulin, it's got to be Ro'i Loi, Chozi Lei. Same thing should be by the Nazir, it's got to be something Ro'i Loi. Oh, that's the Gemara's answer. Dr. Gemara. Sumchas Ayim Bechulin, back to our Gemara. The Ila Nazir, but Yayin Lei Paldig. Why don't Sumchas argue over there too and say the Nazir cannot use wine for his native? So I'll tell you why. My timer. Why doesn't he argue? Should the Mitchell on his Yerusha, like we just heard from Brother Shai, because he could be Shoyal on his Nazirus. That means.
Can't even on Shabbos, can he be Shoyal on his Nazirus on Shabbos?
Well, we're going to see in a moment that we're talking about at the moment of Bein HaShemashes. But as far as being Shoyal on Nazirus on Shabbos, if you recall, back at the end of Masechta Shabbos, we had a Mishnah where the Mishnah said that a person can be Shoyal on any Neder on Shabbos if it's Letzoyrech HaShabbos. We had a Machloikis Lagabi whether you can also have a husband be nefer a neder of his wife on Shabbos if it's only Litzurich HaShabbos or not, and there we said it depends on whether Haforis Nedarim is limited just to that day, meaning until nightfall, and if it's only until nightfall, if we're not going to allow him to go and be nefer neder, what happens for neder that she's not going to eat on Tuesday or Wednesday, so we have to allow him to be nefer. Or on the other hand, there's another man, the Yom, that says you can be nefer 24 hours of time on Matzah Shabbos to be nefer. But well, it got to be Shoyal ben Aziris or Shoyal ben Adarim. If it's Negea to that particular Shabbos, you are allowed to ask the Rav or the Bezdin. It's the Tzorich HaShabbos. You're allowed to be Shoyal and the Matri's name. So thank you, Marvin. Because he can be Shoyal. Since he can be Shoyal, he doesn't have to be Shoyal. It just has to be Ro'ui that he could be Shoyal. That's already enough. According to Sumchas, you can also go and be shoyal on your truma and go to the Rav and say, I decided that this tvua that I set aside for truma is not fancy enough. I should have taken AAA wheat and I only took AA or whatever. In other words, wheat is not a good example because it's not clear whether you can be Arab with wheat or not because it's not Roy Lachila. So let's talk about wine. Let's talk or chalas, right? Chalas could be a truma chalas as well. Yeah, anything. Anyway, the point is, you can go and be shoyal and say, I regret having been giving these chalas, so this wine for truma, I should have given something else. So he could be shoyal in that too. And then he would be able to Roy Lech. So tomorrow, if he's going to be shoyal on this truma and say, I have regrets, and it's going to work because the Rav will be matir, guess what he's going to have? He's not going to have chulin, he's going to have tevel. Can you eat tevel?
No.
No. So we haven't accomplished anything. Let him go and make now a new truma. Again, on Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to do that. It would be asr. However, the Chari can do it Bein HaShemashes. Because Bein HaShemashes is a time when the Erev would be Koina. So at the time you want to be Koina with the Erev, why can't I make Truma for my Erev, even though I'm Yisrael? After all, at this moment I could be Shoel Olav, and I could also go and give Truma Mimokim Acher from some of the Chalas that I have at home in my freezer, which are all Chulin, so or Tevel, and therefore I can be Mafish one for the other. Okay, so we're going to address that in another moment. So Gemara, next to the chaverim, literally shloim and amukit. You talk about here a chaver. Chaver means not namaretz, and therefore, if you want to go and give truma or meiser from tevel, it's got to be in menamukit. Menamukit means it has to be next to it. And here, where I'm putting away my eruv, I don't have any other food items. This is the only food item that I have here from my eruv. So I don't have other food other tevel to be able to go and be mafish truma from it.
The problem is that the Eruv now becomes tevel, and it's not near any other. That's not the tevel that we're trying to misakin, the Eruv substance.
We have to be misakin it because otherwise we won't be able to eat anything. So we're saying let him be misakin it from other food items that he has at home. But he can't do that because it has to be minamuk. That's the next one. Thank you, my position. From these very chalas themselves. Once I'm shoyel, so now let's say I'm going to give now 2% for truma, 10% for mice and all that. Or so I should be able to eat it. Right. It's talking about that he had exactly b'tzimtzum the amount of chalas that he would eat on a regular Shabbos, which would be normally fine, but because of the fact that it happens to be truma, if I'm sure that I'm going to make it convert it back into teva, and I'm going to start giving now truma and then ma'isarisha and then ma'asasheni and all the rest, I'm not going to have any chalas left, or at least I won't have enough for two meals, and therefore that's the reason why you can't do it. Pray tomorrow.
Why isn't it following the same logic of, just like we said on Yom Kippur, you can't eat from it, so therefore, but it's still okay. So here also, you can't eat from it, but the amount is still enough.
You see, what you're saying is like the Rabbanan, which is in fact like Beis Hillel, and that's how we pask it. Gemara is asking according to Sumchus. Sumchus is Talmud of Beis Shammai, right? And Sumchus says, 1 second, you have to have something that is not just roy for somebody else, for the katan, for a person himself. And it's not roy for me now because I'm Yisrael, I'm not a Kayan. Okay, but convert it back into tevel, but I can't eat tevel. Oh, so then convert it into new chulin by giving truma umay seminei ovei.
Because you keep subtracting from it.
And when you subtract, it's not going to be enough to eat. Exactly. So, oh, you're really on top of it, and that's klavik. Frank, you want my pasca? Where does it say in our Mishnah we're talking about that it was exactly that amount that if you start giving trumas and mices, there won't be enough? In other words, maybe he gave him berabach. He put 3 pulkoch instead of 2. As we know, some of the Rabban of the army called over Shehu Mishim Shvus, because we're all the Benash Moshais. This is what Brother Shai was leading up to a couple of moments ago, that anything with Mishim Shvus, what means Mishim Shvus? That you're not allowed to midrabanon be Mesakin Tevel on Shabbos. Why could you be Mesakin Tevel on Shabbos? Because it looks like Tikkun Mon. It's not Mamish Tikkun Mon. A real Tikkun Mon of Arises, you go and take a hammer and nails and you start fixing something. Here we're talking about going in the mafresh trumas of Isis. So minatoyr, it's not a problem, but midrabanon, it's osir, it's a shvus. Says Gemara, this sumchus holds like the rabbanon hold that by shvus gozer olam not only on Shabbos itself, but even b'nesh marshes, even though it's like a shtikle gzeira le gzeira or drabanon drabanon. Because the whole Isser anyway of being mafresh trumas and maizres is a shvus, is a rabban. And this is b'nei shvus, which is a selfik. So the chayyeh selfik to rabban and lakula, we should be allowed. No, rabban and say it's also called a b'nei shvus, because we're b'nei shvus. Okay, so bottom line is I have no takana vis-a-vis this truma, but I do have a takana vis-a-vis the naziris. Naziris, I can be shoel olam. There's no problem. I can do that in tzumei shalyoim. Even shoel means to go and ask the chief rabbis. You go to a rabbinical court. I guess shoel, shoel major, right? Shoel and shailas and chubas. You go and ask them and tell them, I have made a neder or a shvua which I regret. They have to find the pesach when they draw and say, well, would you have known and could you have known? Would you have made enough? I would have known. I never would have made this. And they can absolve you from your name. Anyway, so getting back to Mitchum, you'll stay with us. We'll learn Maseches Nedarim. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the Shoel to the Chacham. So getting back to Agamar, Damri Koldov, Shehu Mishum Shvus, Shkozer Ola Benish Mashim. Do Gemara, Keman Azal Hodet Nan. Who is the Man Diomar, the Mechaber, so to speak, of the next Mishnah? What is the Mishnah Maseches Kalim? The Nan. Yesha Omru. That there is a man diyama that holds that in all shiurin that we're going to enumerate momentarily, it really depends on that person's physical dimensions. So, for instance, we know this halacha that a kohen, when a Yisrael is bringing a korban mincha in the base of Mikdash, the first the kohen has to take a kmitza. The kometz a kohen mimenu huloy kumtzai. What is a kometz? Three fingers. You take the three fingers and you wipe it off from both sides, and then you put that on the mizbeach, and then the shirayim are ne'achal l'kohen. Now you could have two kohen. One kohen who happens to be 7 foot tall, and he has fingers that go from here to Kanarsi, and the Ibrahim Kumtsai for him would be twice 10 ounces. And then you can have a kohen who's a small guy, and his kohen mitzvah is only 2 ounces. Makes no difference. I don't go and look at the ounces, I look at his kohen mitzvah, his fingers. And therefore, Hakalafi Mashu other. What that person is, if that person Mulay Kumtsoi Mincha, whatever is, if it's 2 ounces, 3 ounces, 5 ounces, 7 ounces, whatever Mulay Kumtsoi is. Same thing as it comes on Yom Kippur. It says the Kohen Gadol has to go and take Mulay Chafnayim of Ketoidus, Lefnayim Lefnim. Mulay Chafnayim means two big handfuls. Now you could have a Kohen has small hands, and you could have a Kohen has big hands. So, there would be a big difference in the amount of Ketoidus. Makes no difference. How could the Fimashu Adam? He has big hands, it takes more. Small hands, it takes smaller. What's the Isser of Inui on Yom Kippur? Drinking Malay Lugma. Malay Lugma means cheekfuls. Now, if you have an Oig Melech HaBashan, he has big cheeks. If you have a small midget type of guy, he has small cheeks. Hakol Lefi Mashua. Why did we bring this for the next year? When it comes to the Inyan of food, the amount of two Seudais. Again, some people are gluttons and eat a lot, and some people are pipsqueaks and eat a very small amount. You know, it depends on the individual. Oh, I think Gemara is going to bring it. The Gemara is going to bring what you're saying, brother Shai. I think Gemara is going to bring in another man. So Gemara Kiman, who says this? Some Reb say it's Sochasi. In other words, until now we spoke about the quality and the character of the food, and now we talk about the quantity of the food. Just like Simcha said, that a Nozer cannot, not a Nozer, that a Yisrael cannot use Truma. Why not? Because it's not raw uiloi. It's got to be chazilei. Same thing in the quantities, it's got to be chazilei. 3 ounces, 5 ounces, one bukla, two bukla, whatever is chazilei. Dr. Ibarra, maybe we'll think of Rapshim and Al-Ghaza, that's what Brother Shah was saying, the sign of Rapshim and Al-Ghaza, Oymen. Ma'arvin l'choyla u'l-azak k'day m'zoynan, u'l-rabsa b'shuda b'ayninis shal kol adam. Ah, so what do I see from this? At least from the first case, on the ma'arvin l'choyla u'l-azak l'choyla, that's the very halacha, k'day m'zoynay, what's raw u'ilay. Oh, so that'd be like sumchas. So Rapshim and Al-Ghaza is holding like sumchas. However, the second halacha seems to argue with Sumchus. Because what's the second halacha? By Rab's son, you go besuda beinishol kaladim. Why? It should be the seuda that's raw uiloi. According to Sumchus, you always say maida chazilei. If you're going to put two small buklach for a person who has a real big appetite, it's not going to do it. It's nothing for him. He needs a big challah from here to Canarsie. It's not going to be enough. So the Choyra Reb Sumchus argues with the first, not with the first half, with the second half of Reb Shimon Elazar that says that you go basar a kol adam and not at that person in particular. Everymore to guma achoy levizokin. Have Rav Sambot Lodait Eitzikolot. Don't make a machloek between Sumchus and Reb Shimon Elazar, but rather say that Sumchus and Reb Shimon Elazar hold the same thing, that we look at that particular person, we don't look at people generally. What about the Ravsin said? The Ravsin case, but there Sumchus would hold, we do not look at his appetite, but we would look at the average person's appetite. The average person's appetite obviously is much, much less, and that's what we would follow according to Sumchus.
But is that in
that would be the same. Sumchus and Shimon Elazar are both hold, you look at this Odom himself. Like Simcha said, right. And here the Chayil Zaken. What's Chazi Lehem? They eat smaller meals, so whatever is Chazi Lehem. Finally, the Kohen Beis Pras. We had in our Mishnah, if you had a Kohen, and he placed his Erev Tchumen in a Beis Pras. Beis Pras means a place which is a Sofik, if it happens to have a caver there or not. You can go and put your Erev Eruve Tchumen there. Why? After all, the kohen can't walk in a base of press. Every morning, Rav Yonah Mishmuel Menapech on a base of press. If a kohen wants to go through a base of press, what he could do is he could take a blower or a bellows and right in front of him, wherever he's walking, keep on blowing and blowing it, just in case there happens to be a bone, a which is etzem kisa'ira, the blower will blow it away, and then he can walk through. So since he has the opportunity of being able to walk in this basic class, he doesn't have to physically walk through it, he just has to have the availability and the ability.
The same logic.
Would
you be allowed to do that on Shabbos, though, a basic class, to carry a bellows, Rishus HaRabim, and to blow through it? I mean, in terms of, you would be able to react to the Shabbos, the side issue of it being Shabbos. And
you could say the same thing. Whether it's Shabbos or a weekday, he's not a Kohen, so he can't eat those foods. He never can eat those foods.
No, we're talking about a Kohen who makes a cross.
I'm saying it's the same logic. It doesn't have to be able to. It just has to.
No, I'm saying, on a weekday, he could do that to walk through Beis HaFras, but on Shabbos, wouldn't it be a problem there?
Because of his mouth, he just into that balance.
So the answer is, you're asking a very good question, as always. And the answer is, we had at the top of the Omud that we look at whether it's Roy Mib Oijoyin, at the time that he sets it aside. The time he set aside the Erev, just like we said that the Gadol can't eat on Yom Kippur, but he could eat it on Erev Yom Kippur. So this Koyin on Mib Oijoyin, he could use this basically this bellow. So since he could have, therefore that's already enough to be able to place the Erev in. He says, I have a better idea. You don't have to talk. There are different types of Beis HaPras. You have a Beis HaPras which is Nidish. Nidish means that it has been plowed through or tread through many people walking over it for years. So therefore, the assumption is that you're not going to find an Etzem Kisa Oira. And therefore, even if the Kohen walks through it, he's torn nevertheless, because even if he did touch a bone fragment, it was less than a Kisa Oira, and therefore he's tar. Anyone who's on the Zoom, any questions? Hearing none, I assume all of you heard the shir, so it's great. We'll resume here in Mechlis Medish, and we'll continue with the Zoom. So this way, we'll
resume with Zoom.
We'll resume with Zoom. Bring your own coffee.
Right.
Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai Mitchell, tomorrow morning again, 7:45.
Are we going to try to learn that?